Hi, I'm Ray Zod.
And I'm Connor L.
And we do a Superman podcast.
Called The Last Sons of Krypton. And you are listening to the DCAU podcast.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering... I need to get this right. Because it's... Lego DC Comics Superheroes... Aquaman, Rage of Atlantis.
It's a hell of a mouthful.
It's also, if you want to get this legitimately, unless you have a Now account, the cheapest you can get it in the UK is £8.
Luckily, I stole my sister's Now account.
Yes, I also accessed this film through a Now account. Definitely. so this is the one thing I do love about doing this podcast, is we can go from Constantine City of Demons, Death of Superman, serious films, trying to be like properly kind of aiming for kind of an adult audience, and then we go to this.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is tonal whiplash, but I thought it was a lot of fun.
I mean,
you will all know the reason why I like this film very soon.
So this film, yeah, which came out, I'm just going to have a look just how close the dates are. Yes, it came out 4 months before Aquaman.
Oh, really?
Literally, yeah. It came out on July 2018, and it's December 2018 Aquaman came out.
That's interesting, because it would have definitely affected how I viewed Aquaman.
Yes. So, this version of Aquaman is the more closer to the comic version. You know, Caucasian, blonde hair, a little bit silly.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so...
But having said that, I don't know. I don't think he's this silly in the comics. This is very Legoed up.
I think it's one of these things. I don't follow much of Aquaman. I know that there was kind of a phase. I think it was at the beginning of the New 52,
mm-hmm.
where DC basically pretended to be in on the joke and go, oh yeah, Aquaman's really stupid, he talks the first, isn't that stupid? No, but seriously, he's our most powerful character. But that's the kind of idea, is that he's super powerful whilst also at the same time everyone thinks he's a joke.
Right.
Also, I believe this film has both your favourite and least favourite characters in it.
I mean, look, I think that's slightly jokey. I mean, I said it.
Aye.
So, you're not to blame here. But, I mean, that's... They're up there. They're in my top 3 to 5 in each...
Category, yeah.
Category. Because, I have to remember that things like Midnighter are also part of DC. And that sort of bumps the sort of standard DC...
Mm-hmm.
Mixes it around a bit. But we do definitely have one of my top 5 and one of my bottom 5 characters in this.
So... what we also have, so it's Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Cyborg, Green Lantern in this film is Jessica Cruz.
Yeah, and I think they did, I read her initial run, and I think they did her very well, actually. And she has a big character arc in this, so.
Yes, I do like the fact that, yeah, it's not, I mean, even though it's an Aquaman movie, it's a Justice League movie as well.
Yeah, yeah, but none of them... I mean, you can tell why Aquaman is given the title.
Yes.
It's not they've just chucked that in as the title.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that as well. You got to see a bit more of all of them, and but they didn't sort of overwhelm him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, let's face it, if you have just watched the films as we have, you wouldn't know that much about Aquaman.
Mm-hmm. So...
Neither do the Justice League.
No, absolutely not. So we start with Lobo attacking a warehouse in the middle of a dried up lake bed. Unfortunately, all Aquaman hears is lake bed.
Yes.
And he also keeps on refusing to call Ocean Master by his chosen name.
Yeah, which is funny.
Yes.
I also would not call him Ocean Master.
So, Aquaman, so Lois Lane is there and tries to interview Lobo whilst he's...
And Jimmy.
And Jimmy Olsen. Yeah, Jimmy's also there.
He's also up there, not in top five, maybe top ten, but I do like it. It's nice to see him.
So, Aquaman and Lobo fight. Aquaman gets rather easily defeated.
Yeah.
The he
gets
just
wiped out.
Yes. The Justice League arrives. Jessica has performance anxiety.
Yeah, so Jessica's thing is she has anxiety.
Yes.
So she struggles with the Green Lantern role.
Yes.
Which I think is an interesting one, given that will is, their power is based on will. So, like, it's an interesting definition of the character. I mean, it's quite funny here, because the Lantern is giving her points throughout. So,
yes.
Which is a little bit mean, but funny.
Yes, because, yeah, the Lantern Ring is judging. Because nothing saps willpower and hope that, like, being...
And when she asks why Hal didn't have to listen to all this, she's like that he earned the mute button. That was quite funny.
Yeah. We get a slow-mo Justice League landing. Of all the mistakes Jessica Cruz makes, she insults the utility belt.
Yeah, I know, but to be fair, she's in the right.
Oh, no, she's in the right! The problem is, it becomes a gag throughout the whole film. And to the point where even me, the let's be honest, out of the two, the Batman stan on this podcast.
For sure.
Even
for
I'm
sure.
Sitting there going, shut up. Bruce, we get it. Shut up. Lobo is able to successfully get away. With
Lobo being one of my most hated characters, by the way. Let's just clear that up away. Can't stand him. But he wasn't as bad when he was in Lego form by the end of the film. First bit, hate. I was just like, ugh.
Oh, boy. No. I was sitting there going, yeah, but I know what's coming, so it's okay.
Yeah, right? So, like, by the end of the film, I was like, okay, he's all right in this, but, like, no, I don't like Lobo.
So... After their victory, Aquaman wants to have a party and invite everyone to Atlantis.
Which is sweet.
Is sweet. And Green Lantern's able to make a submarine.
Yep.
They then establish a few things. First of all, Superman is weak in Atlantis, which is good. I like the fact that they are basically going out of their way to go... No. Superman is limited for virtually the whole movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's the only way the others could really shine. In
exactly. We get a musical number because it is...
And do you know what, though? It wasn't as annoying as the Harley ones. It was short and it was actually... I found it funny.
I noticed that, but it seems to be something that happens more in... The films aimed at younger audiences.
Which makes sense as well, but yeah. I just mean, like, something, you know, that the Joker one and the Harley ones are sometimes just a bit, like, cringy in their lyrics. This one just seemed to work because it was supposed to be a little bit cringe. Like, it was, you know, like, if you have, like, a tourist advert, it was a bit like that, you know, look how nice all the Atlantis people are, and you get this little bouncy song of them all singing.
I think that's the difference is when... I think you will notice also the two that you've cited are two films that are aimed at a whole older audience.
Yeah, I fair. I guess it's that. It's not the characters so much or the songs. It's that the singing intent. Doesn't fit in as well in a film aimed at adults that isn't a musical. Like, just having the odd little hello song is not as... It feels a little bit more disruptive.
Also, they very briefly feel like 5 seconds ago. Oh, and by the way, there's a trident on a statue. The rightful king of Atlantis will be able to pull it out.
Yeah.
And they kind of, they say it so in passing, you're sitting there going, right, okay, so you're setting that up for later.
Yeah,
so why is Aquaman not taking that out yet?
Yeah, there's definitely, and there's a very sweet joke about, like, sort of, oh, what do you mean, like, Excalibur? He's like, what?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Also, Batman's able to go, oh, and bang, you can all breathe in water now, it's fine. Also, probably means you can breathe on other planets.
Yeah, okay, that is fair.
We have Mira shows up.
Yep.
Much to Superman's
and they're like,
surprise.
Oh, you're married. You didn't
you're
tell
married?
Us. You're married? So funny. It's like, they clearly have never spoken to their, like, their, as friends in this.
Well, that's the other thing is, Batman throughout this whole bit is going, okay, I don't have this information on my files.
Yeah.
That's Batman. He needs to know how to kill everyone.
Right. And, like, I mean, I'm not sure he needs to know they have a wife for that. Yeah. But yes, he's Batman. He feels he should know everything.
That's... Also, Mira is able to produce hard water.
Hard water magic, yeah. Which
hard
is
water
amazing.
Magic. Which I immediately go, isn't that what they call radioactive water? So are you telling me that she's got the power of radioactivity?
I think it's kind of equivalent to what Jessica can do, isn't it? But like,
yeah.
Water not in light.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way they seem to use it.
Yeah, like she can make constructs. And you get Arthur being like, make fish. Incredibly stupid.
Yeah. Also, they do establish in Atlantis, fish have rights.
Yes, which is fair.
And also, yeah, because at first they're like, oh, we're getting seafood.
Yeah, yeah.
They live with, well, they live with fish and lobsters.
Yeah,
why
yeah.
Would they...
Is that, I'm looking for, that was a very funny one where there was, I'm looking forward to lobster and the lobster's the one serving the meal.
Yeah.
I did genuinely laugh at that one. So.
So, meanwhile, Ocean Master is standing in front of the people and going, Aquaman's awful.
I mean, he is. I'm laughing because it's so silly. But...
Oh, it's true. It's true at the start of the film. He is awful.
He's awful, but in that, like, really sort of bouncy way.
I'm actually surprised because I know there's
I
been
know.
Versions...
I usually hate these things. And it just, like, it. I found this one a lot more charming.
The version of... Because I'm sure they did... like. I think it might have been one of the one that was basically a huge Batman toy commercial. Aquaman was, oh no, it was it the Scooby-Doo one?
Maybe.
It was the one where Aquaman's in, he's played by John DiMaggio, who's doing the most kind of John DiMaggio, big arrogant performance. That, I actually am surprised they didn't go very directly to that, because I know John DiMaggio has shown up in these films before.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, instead, it is D. Bradley Baker.
Okay.
Who also voices Dexter in this film.
See, now you've given away the special guest.
Yes.
But it was coming soon, so it's fine.
So, Ocean Master then... Then one blasts out a red light, which makes everyone angry, the Trump ray, if you will, and then goes really Trump and is racist as well.
Yeah, like super racist.
Super racist. Going, oh, the Constitution says you have to be a pure Atlantean.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't
Arthur's
know why I
pure.
Went with that voice.
I don't know either. It was a little bit scary.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Arthur's not a true Atlantean.
And also Aquaman immediately, yeah, fine.
Yeah, yeah. But that has consequences.
With
the mirror.
Yes, because he gets dumped.
Yeah, he gets dumped for not, like, fighting for his realm.
And then our actual villain for this film shows up, who's Atrocitus.
Yeah, which is a, I don't, I mean, that's a ridiculous name.
Yes, I, the only place I've seen Atrocitus before has been the second Injustice game.
Right, I didn't know if he was real or not. I mean, obviously, I figured he probably was, but it's just, it's like Unobtainium. It's such a, it's a truly stupid name, like how much you like the rest.
Yeah, he's the guy that even Sinestro would roll aside with the Green Lanterns than him. That's the whole idea. That's, yeah,
yeah, yeah, that's funny.
So, he has the power of rage.
Yes.
And he
yes.
turns the entirety of Atlantis on the Justice League.
Yes, he turns them all into little rage monsters.
But Batman is able to successfully help them escape.
Well, it's good for him to have a purpose.
Yep.
Apart from just being... Oh, he also gets them all able to breathe underwater. But apart from that...
So... The Justice League escape through a sea gate, which is a teleportation device that lets you travel to any other planet that has water. Green Lantern unfortunately traps herself before everyone else, after everyone else gets through, where she's then saved by Mira. Though we don't find out until later that it's Mira that saved them, but Mira's the only person that has hard water powers.
Yeah, so you can kind of guess.
We then arrive at a factory being run by the Red Lanterns. The foreman of this factory is Dexter!
Yeah, the greatest, one of the greatest characters in DC. And yes. with one of the absolute most gut-wrenching origin stories.
Oh, yeah. No, even I've read that. And
It's awful. Anyway, he's a cat, and he's a Red Lantern, and he has rage. But he also has a very cool, whippy tail in this one, and he absolutely wrecks Wonder Woman.
Yeah, in this film, Wonder Woman abuses cats.
Or the other way around, really. I thought it was an interesting matchup why he was against Wonder Woman, but it was, he literally just absolutely wrecks her.
I take it Ozzy was enjoying this film.
Yeah. He almost got called Dex.
Yes.
It was another on the Ozzy list of names along with Ravage, but then we decided it might not be good luck to call him after Dexter.
Yeah. So... it turns out that the orb that was stolen earlier is powering this factory. Yeah. So that they can bring an army of machines into Earth to trigger an invasion.
Mm-hmm. It's always about invading Earth, isn't it?
Yes. So a fight breaks out, and Alan's going to switch to his online notes now.
It's quite a good fight. Like, it doesn't... It's a good, fun Lego fight, so...
Yeah. They're doing this thing where every time that they destroy a machine, it automatically heals.
Yeah.
So, it's that kind of... No one's dying!
It's a great Lego conceit, isn't it? Because, you break your Lego, and then you can put it back together again.
Yes.
It even fits with Lego.
Yes.
It works. In the same way as that's why the characters that can make constructs are so great for Lego.
Yeah.
Because that's what Lego does.
So, Clark, at this point, the planet they've arrived on has a red sun, so Superman has no power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wonder... he can't power up.
Yes. Wonder Woman's knocked silly. Which I did like that gag.
Yeah.
Aquaman realizes that space dolphins are different from Earth dolphins.
Yeah. They're like, you can talk to the dolphin. No.
Yes, absolutely. So, the Justice League are outmatched. So Batman deploys his most devastating weapon of all. the toy mouse.
It's so funny. Like, I just could not stop laughing when he's like, this should distract him for a while. There's like a winder. It looks more like a rat, but I'm sure it's supposed to be a mouse because that's cuter. But yeah, it was very funny.
So, so they then decide to...
And it works, like we should say.
It works, but, you know, and they run into a nearby place. Unfortunately, the place they run into is a furnace.
Yeah, it's a bit like Toy Story 3.
Yeah. So, it's actually Aquaman that figures out how to escape.
Wow. Yeah. We'll come to that towards the end, but Aquaman doesn't do badly throughout the film, apart from that beginning bit.
Yeah, it's almost like there's this turn where Aquaman actually starts going, oh no, he's actually...
And it's not that he doesn't stop and think about it, he's just right.
Yeah.
And is happy to sort of say it. So
Aquaman goes, hey Batman, do you have a parachute? So they figure out that the planet that they are on has no water.
Shocking.
Batman has a whole bat suit in his utility belt.
Yeah, because as you do.
Yes, because that's... Yeah. So, meanwhile, Green Lantern and Mira have found the Armada. Unfortunately, Mira gets infected with rage. No, so that's a different movie. Becomes angry and has the red eyes and is about to attack Green Lantern when Green Lantern drops a ship on her head.
Sorry, it sounds ridiculous, but it's so Lego and it's great.
Meanwhile, Aquaman begins hallucinating, passes out, and turns into a divining rod.
That's hilarious. They're going to pick him up and he just like starts pointing to where the nearest water is.
Yes. Meanwhile... Sorry.
I love it. I just say it's so funny and silly and such a great use for him. And it comes back into the plot point later.
Yes.
So it works on two levels.
So meanwhile, Mira basically gets permission from Ocean Master to attack the surface world. And it becomes clear that Atrocitus maybe isn't on the level here.
Yeah. I
think it's here or somewhere else where the exact phrasing is, oh, we've agreed, I will rule underwater, and you will rule any dry land.
Yeah. There's a little bit of cheating going on here.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, Barbara and Damian Wayne are in Star City Pier having a day out.
Yeah, I was really confused about why this was Damien, because this did not at all seem like Damien.
I get the impression this is, well, we need a different Robin now.
Yeah, but it was really odd, you know what I mean? It's like going, he was just so not Damien to me. And even when she sort of commented and went like, Damien, like, why, you know, you're so different. And it's like, nah, but he's different but still not Damien. So that was a bit weird, but...
Well, I think it's one of those things, it's very difficult to do Damien in a kid-friendly environment.
I agree. And that's why I'm surprised they didn't go with Tim.
So, though Damien does start, quote-unquote, acting like a kid.
Yeah. And that's when she says, like, this isn't usually you or something, and it's just like, okay, but it didn't seem like Damien when he wasn't doing that either. But that's fine.
Meanwhile, the Justice League has accidentally stumbled into Star Wars Episode 4.
Right? I was like, it's Star Wars, isn't it? They've literally just walked into Star Wars.
I was waiting for someone to say, this is a hive of scum and villainy.
Right, I was really waiting for a Star Wars joke, because, like, they just walk into a cantina where there's the singing, and it's, like, it's entirely Star Wars. Even the aliens look a bit like what they called Rodians. Think. You have to take my word for it.
Yeah. So, it turns out on this planet, water is very expensive.
Yeah. They go to the bar, they order water, because they're, been through this desert as such. And they get given the water, but then they find out it's like this super expensive, rare,
because
modern.
Because Atrocitus sucked up all the water.
So he could rule on land, yeah.
So, meanwhile, it turns out that, at this point they go, that's fine, Batman will cover it. No, we don't take credit.
And, like, it's a different, like, place. It's like, presumably his money isn't always, like, universally accepted. Maybe it is.
So, meanwhile, Aquaman, when he's dehydrated, begins to act drunk.
Yeah, it was very funny.
And then we have a fight with two robot debt collectors who Aquaman easily defeats. And the locals are so impressed they pay the tab.
Hooray!
So, because you still need to show them the tab being paid.
It's an
stealing
important
is wrong, folks. Meanwhile, Jessica, Batgirl, and Robin start to fight Mira and the Atlanteans in Star City.
Yeah, it's a little bit random, but it kind of works within the film.
Meanwhile, in the hive of scum and villainy, the vilest scum appears because Lobo comes and taunts the Justice League. And says, oh yeah, Ocean Master hired me. By the way, have you seen my dolphin Fishy?
Yeah, my best friend.
Which, yeah, that's... Aquaman is able to out-tough Lobo.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
And also finds water in the bar.
Yeah. Which is very funny. It's like, oh, just below your bars, like a massive reservoir.
That's the thing I'm trying to work out. Is it that guy was lying and he knew about it and he's exposed a liar? Or was it, no, he genuinely didn't know?
I thought he just genuinely didn't know. I always aim with stupidity. Let's go for stupid, so.
So, meanwhile, Atrocitus is building a weapon.
Oh, no.
And Fishy is working with Dexstar.
Yay. Yeah, because we saw him. He was the dolphin that Aquaman couldn't speak to earlier.
Yeah. So, fighting breaks out. Fishy and Lobo end up fighting. Wonder Woman abuses a cat.
Again.
And then, as they're trying to get out and back to Earth, Fishy and Dexstar escape from the sea gate as the power orb falls out and the gate closes behind them. And Lobo is sad because Fishy hit him.
He is really sad. This is where he gets a little bit helped.
And then Aquaman tries to cheer him up and help him, but Lobo goes, oh yeah, that's right, I'm the edgiest character in the history of edgy.
Yeah,
so
I
don't need friends.
Deadpool and like, well, no, so he's like Deadpool, but heavy metal Deadpool. And I'll get into trouble for saying that from someone. I'm sorry. but I just find him quite tiring. And Deadpool as well. I'm not a fan of, I'm a fan of some Deadpool, but not like this kind of same approach.
Deadpool's one of those characters a bit like, and actually one of the others I would say on this is Hulk.
Mm.
They're better when they are part of a team and they get a small part. But the second
thing is, that there are some really good Deadpool comics, but since since the films is very OTT and like Deadpool at his slapstick worst is the same as Lobo at his worst to me. Like, I just, it's not something I care for. But I know people who love them, so it's just, it's literally always going to come down to taste and humor, and they're such subjective things that I would never expect other people to necessarily dislike them.
It's more kind of that. As I said, it's the same with a lot of characters. Like, they're good in small doses.
Mm. And like where you get some sort of character arc, like here, any kind of self-reflection or change is good. But when they just come on and do their shtick, it's not so great.
So, Aquaman begins his plan to turn the tide. That pun was fully intentional. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Green Lantern, Batgirl and Robin are the last three defenders of Earth, and Green Lantern realizes everyone's watching and gets stage fright.
Yeah.
And runs.
And that's kind of like one of the big issues with her powers, you know?
Yeah.
But it's why I like it. I mean, you know, like, we're talking about better representation, and you know, the fact that in Moon Knight they're now referring to what he has as DID instead of what they said in the past, and you know, we're starting to acknowledge where the heroes have been built in with like Hawkeye being deaf, and you know,
obviously Daredevil from the
start. Daredevil though I think was built in from the beginning. So I mean, like, more things like, and the same with Iron Man's alcoholism and stuff like that. But I think we're now starting to, sometimes you'll get PTSD being brought into it, and the fact they sort of created Jessica as a character with this anxiety, which a lot of people reading comics feel. In fact, the wide percentage of the population suffers from some sort of anxiety disorder.
Yeah.
But also I think like, but it works in another way. It's like, it's not just a sort of, it's not just representation. It's like, it works because it is such an interesting combination, with Will being the founding underlying of the Green Lanterns.
Yeah.
It's like when they brought in Simon at the same time as Jessica, and he's like, I think Lebanese, Middle Eastern. And I think, there's something, he's been like surveilled. For being a terrorist.
Oh, look.
Because of his racial profile.
I have been randomly selected again.
Yeah. I mean, this is like, I don't know him as well, so I'm probably getting that a little bit wrong. But they're an interesting couple to sort of come back around the same time.
Yeah. So, the Justice League managed to get the gate working, and they make little jets, which are adorable.
They are adorable. They're like, oh, how are we all going to join in? It's like, oh, we made little things.
And look, it's another toy we can sell!
But look, it's Lego.
It's Lego,
You can have a brick and it's a toy you can sell. I mean, I don't get as stroppy about it when it's Lego, because literally, they can just sell you a box of bricks.
Yeah.
So it's not as egregious when Lego does it, but yeah, so, it's an upset, I guess.
Yeah. So Green Lantern then realizes what's happening to Batgirl and Robin, and goes back and goes, no, we need to do the right thing. We are a hero.
Which is lovely.
Meanwhile, a fight breaks out between the Justice League and Ocean Master and Atrocitus. Atrocitus is able to very easily defeat the entire Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
And then turns on Ocean Master!
Yeah, there's a surprise, right?
And he starts up the Slurp.
Which is very funny.
Which is a giant straw, which at most is a great riff on the idea of the giant sky beam.
Yeah, it is.
So The idea is that the slurp absorbs the world's water and fires it off into space.
Which works.
It works. I mean, it works on comic book logic.
Yeah.
So, Green Lantern is able to save Robin and Batgirl and then create an anti-rage ray. And she earns the mute option!
Yay!
And chooses not to take it.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, Aquaman is actually being a hero. And even though he was betrayed by his half-brother, he still checks on his half-brother. And he goes, I should never have given up the throne. And to which Batman goes, no, you're a good hero.
Which is true,
absolutely.
I mean, and he goes through and tells him all the things he's done since the beginning of the film.
To prove that
changed
he's good,
the course
yeah.
of things. And, you know, sometimes you need to be told these things.
Yep. So, Aquaman uses plankton to make a key.
Which is, okay.
Ocean Master casts magic on the Justice League so they can't get Red Lantern Rage.
Mm-hmm.
And the Justice League try and attack the Straw, whilst Aquaman and, for a couple of seconds, Ocean Master fights Atrocitus.
Yes, because he, you know, everyone's brought on side by Aquaman.
Yep. So, as Aquaman and Atrocitus are fighting, Atrocitus is still too powerful, so Aquaman grabs the trident.
Da, da, da.
And destroys the battery, curing everyone in the world's rage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one problem solved. Atrocitus is defeated.
Hooray.
And Ocean Master even gets on the restraining of Atrocitus.
You know.
Whilst Aquaman and Fishy join on the attack on the slurp.
I'm still laughing about the name of the slurp. So every time you say it, my brain kind of short circuits a little bit.
After reuniting with Mira, the Justice League, Aquaman is able to direct the Justice League to attack the same place at the same time. It's still not enough. We need another hero!
We do. And guess who we're getting?
Lobo saves the day!
He does.
Which he... Yeah. Lobo is the hero the world deserves.
Well, maybe. But like I said, I do quite like him in this. So.
Also, Superman, because he's got his powers back, he flies up to where the Straw was.
Mm-hmm.
And he throws the block of ice back into the world, because that has no negative consequences.
Yeah, none at all.
Though it does mean that we get a huge rainstorm at the end.
Yeah.
And we finish the film at Atlantis. Aquaman's made king because it turns out Ocean Master doctored the documentation to say that you couldn't be half Atlantean.
Yes, that was a lie.
And we get a party, and Lobo and Fishy are taking Atrocitus and Dexter to Oa to collect a bounty. And the film ends with Gorilla Grodd attacking Kathmandu.
Yeah, which is very random.
Yes. And that is the end of this Lego movie, and I believe we only have one more Lego movie to go, which is Shazam.
Oh, I didn't know they'd done a Shazam.
But that doesn't come out for 2 years.
Oh, okay, we've got a while.
Because it ties in with Shazam, probably.
Yeah, probably.
So, we are not escaping Atlantis, however, because the next DC superhero girls film is Legends of Atlantis.
That's like next time. This is like, that's our next film as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I wonder if they were really trying to push this idea of Aquaman.
But yet, here's the thing. This is such a different Aquaman. Like, you wouldn't really recognize it.
Yeah.
Apart from Ocean Moss. I would find it hard to come to terms with.
I think it's more just to kind of, well, Aquaman is a thing, so we've got to get all the Atlantis stuff out now.
I mean, yeah, it's nice, but it's a shame because if you're like a fan of Aquaman, you really just got it all in one go.
Yeah, absolutely, and it looks like, well, by the sound of it, the last Aquaman movie is going to be the end of the Snyderverse.
I mean, it seems that way, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah, we'll see what happens.
It's hard to tell.
It's hard to tell.
And no one's really got the
DC. I genuinely can't think of time in the last, pretty much since Man of Steel came out, where there hasn't been some chaos going on in DC's live-action film universe.
I mean, it's true. It's just like, it's very early on in this James Gunn verse, I guess. Gunn Safran.
Yeah.
Bo. We don't really have any information. It's a lot of clickbait sites being clickbaity.
Yeah. And I don't get how we've went from, because as far as I was aware, Aquaman did make money, and now we're being told it didn't make money. I don't know if that's Hollywood accounting or
Aquaman.
No, so Black Adam.
Well, I think Black Adam probably didn't, and there's a bit of creative accounting to make it that it did.
Right.
It is how it sounds to me, or if it did, it just did.
But it seems really strange that we've gone from, literally when the film comes out, The Rock's going, well, we've got Henry Cavill back, and this is going to be the big thing, and this is all, you know, and Black Adam.
But it was also very early on in the, he was saying that before the film was out.
Yeah.
Oh, Henry Cavill's be here. And it that did smack a little bit of desperation of if you have to advertise your film based on a very brief cameo in the end credits, and I'm not saying, obviously Marvel do this as well.
Well, to be fair,
they set up a career of doing it, so I'm not I'm not trying to slam DC here, but it was just like, you know, look, we all want to know Cavill's back or not, but we don't need to have that. I think it's a shame that he didn't, no one seemed to feel it could stand up as a good film on its own. And it is always going to be hard because people don't know the character. They haven't paired him with the one character that he should be paired with. As in Shazam.
By the looks of it, I mean, because if you watch the Shazam movie, it does set up Black Adam and then
through it. It's a weird thing. And also, I think because of how long its development cost and how long its development took and things like that, it takes longer to, that costs money each time. Anytime there's any delays, anytime, I'm sure The Rock wasn't cheap either. So, there's a lot of things that go into stuff like that. I mean, who knows? We will never really know if it made, how much it made and how much it lost.
Anyway, talking of messes with lots of different characters, Reign of the Superman is the next one we're doing after Legends of Atlantis, where we have not one, but four Superman variants showing up.
Nice. Four? Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, well, that's the setup for at the end of the movie.
Yeah, that's why I said it makes sense.
So, after that, we have the last DC Superhero Girls product.
What a shame.
Which is Sweet Justice.
What a shame.
We then have Alan spending an entire film going, Bruce, you got this right the first time. How have you got this wrong? As we have Justice League versus the Fatal Five. And because I like to do five, we have another crossover event involving Batman.
Of course. I'm not surprised, but yeah, go on.
As Batman teams up with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, but I've read some of that comic. It's good. Surprisingly good, Batman and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Absolutely. Hooray! Hooray. So that's the next... Oh, tell a lie, there is an all Lego DC movie, because there has to be an all Batman movie.
Oh, right, yeah.
So yeah, that's everything that's coming up in the near future. That will be next year, because this is our last episode of 2022.
Yeah, so have a good year. Good new year, everyone.
Yep. By the time we get to this point next year, mm-hmm. we'll be down to the last 10 films. Not including anything that's really? Been announced for 2024.
Interesting.
Well, basically, if we cover, 26 films a year? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, yeah, we would be on Green Lantern Beware My Power, which is the second most recent film that's come out. Now.
Wow, so we're...
The only film that we won't have covered that's out by now is Battle of the Super Sons and, sorry, two, there's also Constantine House of Mystery.
Mm.
So that's the only two things that aren't already out that we aren't covering next year.
Interesting.
And then we've got, after that, RWBY, Justice League, Batman, The Doom That Came to Gotham, Legion of Superheroes, and Justice League War World.
Wow. It's interesting, isn't it? Like, we're really not coming to an end, but...
we're burning through it, because obviously it's... Mm. They're not releasing 26 films a year.
Thank God.
No, as opposed to my other podcast, where...
But it's never-ending.
Yeah, we've still got 7 years of material. We've got 3 years before we get out of 2003.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of other podcasts, have you appeared on any other podcasts recently?
I don't think so. Not since we last spoke. But assume the normal ones, you know.
Immortal Iron Fist.
Immortal Iron Fist, Into the Night, Moon Knight, and that's it. I haven't done another. I haven't done a Last Sons of Krypton, but that might be on the cards. So
sure thing. Meanwhile, we are doing I'm still doing Rise of the Robots. We've just gone into Techno Games 2002.
Nice. So you've just gone. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. What's special about that series?
That it's basically a robot Olympic Games. Aimed squarely at school children competing.
Okay.
And
that's cute.
Grizz and I genuinely do not understand how this is still not a thing.
No, I mean, it does seem surprising.
Particularly when our films, when the reboot of Robot Wars was specifically to get kids interested in technology.
Yeah.
Like, that would work better as a aiming for, you know, aiming for kids to go, see, you can take part in this event and make running robots.
Yeah, right? It seems like a no-brainer.
Anyway, we will be back in a couple of weeks and a new year later.
Yeah.
With more DC Superhero Girls.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you for listening to the DC AU Podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU Podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.